Prologue. He tried very hard to remain still, to be strong, project the image of the royal prince he was. That scream in his throat had a life of its own. He wanted to set it free, let it encompass the room. How could she? He allowed himself to scan the chamber, the afternoon sunlight so heavy where it poured through the open terrace door, the spiral of moths there, prima violina Pallavicini di Nei from Almeri, where she stood murmuring in radiance with his father, il principe Aldo Valerio, the attendants padding about their business innocuously as possible, the ladies in waiting with faces of marble, the courtiers frozen like frescoes, the priest with his acolytes hovering behind the doctor, where he sat on the edge of the royal bed and held the withered, fragile wrist of his mother, La Principessa Viviana Pontiero in Valerio. And there, beyond them all, a lurid form in the shadows, the bone-speaker from the temple of Narezza, hooded, cloaked in red, silent as loneliness. Cucullatus, the one who would come before the priest to guide Carmelo's mother from life to death. She seemed transparent to him now, gossamer and mist. She barely breathed, her face composed. He felt the pressure of Silvio di Danuto's hand on his shoulder. "You should speak with her now, Carmelo." "I can't." "If you don't, you will regret it the rest of your life." He felt Silvio nudge his shoulder, urging him forward out of the shadows. "Come with me." He winced at the plea. "This is a moment you should have with her alone. Please, don't leave me now." He wanted to turn toward his father's Minister of National Security, seek out the solace of their friendship. But the man taught him the mark of a good leader and statesman was his ability to refrain from self-indulgence. His mother opened her eyes at that moment, turned her face toward him. Drawn, he found himself at her bedside, the marble hard under his knees where he knelt by her bed, his fingers lacing through hers. She was so cold. His tears hot and immediate, despite every lesson and every self-imposed restriction. "I have to go, Carmelo," she whispered. He pressed the back of her hand to his mouth, trying hard not to sob, to be strong. But she was going. She was leaving. She wouldn't be back. The only remnant of her would be the bone effigy of her in the family shrine. This, after her body was given to Narezza, that greedy goddess of death that was his nation's patron.